That's great. All right, we talk about Gerus and various aspects of Gerus, and some of these issues that we're going to cover have become, you know, very contemporary. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of debates about Gerus going on, especially here in Israel. And Rashi tells us something amazing in Parshas Lech Lecha, the pasuk Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charon, the many, many disciples of Avraham Avinu. According to the Rambam, there were literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of disciples, that they were Gerim. Rashi says, Shehech Nisam Tachas Kanfei Hashchina Avraham Megayers HaNoshim V'Sar Megayers HaNoshim. And Rashi says explicitly that there was Gerus. The Ravid, on the other hand, says that this pasuk of Hanefesh Asher Asu Becharon is not only a source for the fact that Gerus did take place, in fact, before Matan Torah, but not only that, that there is a mitzvah to accept Gerim. How do we know we're commanded to accept Gerim? And the answer is written here in this pasuk, that Avraham Avinu accepted Gerim, and that's Hanefesh Asher Asu Becharon. You know, Sarah was out there doing the Gerus for the lady folk, and Avraham for the men folk. And that obligates every Beis Din throughout Jewish history to accept Gerim. Again, this Ravid is a big problem because we know that Nitna Torah v'Nischad Shalocha, we don't derive mitzvos from what went on before Har Sinai. But be that as it may, I just quote this Ravid here in this context to emphasize that Rashi is not alone in his understanding that there was Gerus before Matan Torah. Does anybody have any question about Gerus before Matan Torah? I'm waiting for a question. David?
Who says the others were Jewish? How do you know the others were Jewish? Maybe they weren't Jewish. What do you mean? They were
strangled. Rashi says, again, that, you know, you can ask, you're asking a question on Rashi.
Yeah.
How does Rashi know it? Rashi derives it from a Medrash. The Medrash says, HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charon.
Yeah.
Avram Hayim Megayres HaNoshim V'Sara Megayres HaNoshim. So you can ask the question on the Medrash. How did the Medrash know it? But that's how the Medrash understood the pasuk HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charon. I thought you were going to ask a totally different question.
The Gerus for Bnei Yisrael was at Matan Torah.
Correct, excellent. And I think we've discussed this in the past. All the laws of Gerus are derived from Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they underwent Mila, and then if you look in Parashas Yisro, it says, V'kibastem esim lo seichem. Rashi identifies that as Tvila, because there are halachas of Tumas Begadim and so forth and so on. And then finally, we have the parasha at the end of Mishpatim of the Karbanos Hager. And the Mishnah in Krisus derives all these elements, or the whole process of Gerus from what went on at Maimed Har Sinai. So I don't get it. If the Gerus was already complete before Maimed Har Sinai, how can we say that Klal Yisrael underwent Gerus at Har Sinai? And truth be told, I have a more fundamental question. Gerus, at the very least, requires Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. What Shaychus Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos before the mitzvos were even given at Maimon Har Sinai? And if you take a look here, he mentions, he says, Kosav, the Ravid writes, Bezdin Mavorchem Al Tfilas Hager, when Bezdin Al Megayer Ager, if the Ger himself cannot make the bracha, then Bezdin will make the bracha. And all this happened way back at the time of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was Megayer, and that Gerus before Matan Torah required all the dinim of Gerus. Avraham Avinu was the Beis Din, if you will, and he supervised this Gerus. In fact, in the second paragraph, you'll see the Brisker Rav, who in his Pirush on Parshas Bo, quotes many, many sources that prove that there was Gerus before Matan Torah. For example, before Matan Torah, it says ki yoger itcha ger v'yosa Pesach, that in order for the Pesach to be brought, there had to have been gerus. And the Ramban interprets that that pasuk is referring to Pesach Mitzrayim, and Pesach Mitzrayim was before Matan Torah, and yet they were already considered gerim in order to eat from that very, very first carbon Pesach before Matan Torah. Or, for example, the Tosefta in Psachim and the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf that has a drasha, Lios Lechol Azarchach Recha, that pasuk is a promise to Avraham Avinu, and the derivation from this pasuk is that the offspring of Avraham Avinu should not marry a Nochris or a Shivcha. Why? Because let's say a child from the lineage of Avram, a male child, marries a Nochris, then Delolezel Zarech Basra, then the child from that marriage, from that union, will not be part of the Jewish folk. And the idea is that a Nochris is a woman who has not undergone Gerus. In this week's parsha, Yosef is going to pull out a shtar, Yuchsin, to prove that his wife, Asnat Bas Potifera, was a Gioris. And in Parshas Shmos, we're going to see that Basio Bas Paro saves the child. And why? What was she doing down at the Nile? Rashi says, Yarda, what does it mean she went down? Lirchotz, to wash herself in the Nile. Litbo L'shem Gerus, Ribono Shalom. Batya Basparo was a Gioris. I don't know if you have any relatives or friends whose name is Batya. And did you ever ask yourself the question, like, why name a Jewish girl after a non-Jewish woman? Yeah, she was a great woman, I don't deny it. But the answer is, according to Rashi at least, she had undergone Gerus, David.
Her name is Bisya.
Okay, Bisya. Today they call it Basya. They wanted to make it Baska, okay? But what status does Bisya have, David? Is she a Jewess or not? Rashi says in Masechta Sota that she's a Jewess. She underwent Gerus. This is way before Matan Torah.
Gerus by who?
The question is, who is the Beis Din who authorized the Gerus?
The rabbis are hanging around the river? I mean, give me... Go rabbis.
So I see, Yechiel, you're not going to accept any of your children naming their children Bisya or Basya. you don't really believe that she was a Gioris. Okay, fine.
It's what the Chachamim did is they took standards of later years and applied it back to ancient history. And it just to make us feel more confident. So I joked, oh, the Avos all wore strimals. I mean, it was a different time, you know?
But Yechiel, let me ask you a question. How do you understand a pasuk in Chumash? Right? That you have to explain. The pasuk says about Avram Avinu, Sheshomar mitzvosai chukosai v'torosai. And even if you don't want to take the Torah Sheval Peh says that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim all 613 mitzvahs.
And I have a lot of difficulty with that.
But the Pasuk says it. I mean, you know,
it doesn't shake my Amunah one little bit.
Let me ask you a different question, Yechiel. I don't want to get off on a tangent.
It's true.
But let me ask you this. Avraham Avinu goes into the Kivshan Ha'esh, right?
Avraham?
Right, the first of the 10 trials of Avraham.
Yeah, it's a Midrash, yeah.
Okay, but I'm just saying, if you accept that Midrash, let's say, for argument's sake, I can convince you that Midrash is true.
All right.
Okay? Again, you know, you might deny that it's true because Torah is always in motion, especially in Toronto. But if you accept Chazal, right, then, you know, I happen to be a believer in Chazal. So for me, it's very real. You know, the Rav Chaim Volozhiner says in Ruach Chaim, his Pirush on Avos, that why is Avram considered Avram Avinu, Well, why does the Mishnah have to say Avram Avinu? He says, because we derive from Avram Avinu that just like he gave up his life rather than worship an idol, we have to do that. That's how he interprets a Mishnah of Rav Yehuda Anasi. You know, so I happen to be one of those guys that you might occasionally meet on the street that actually believe that Avram Avinu was willing to die rather than worship an idol. Okay, so for me, I have a problem. Why do I have a problem? You don't have this problem, Yechiel, but I have this problem because if Avram Avinu was a Ben Noach, then the law is, that's a sugya in Sanhedrin, which again, maybe you don't have that problem, but I have that problem. The Gemara in Sanhedrin concludes that a guy, a non-Jew, a Ben Noach, is not obligated to give up his life, Al Kiddush Hashem. So it means that Avram Avinu violated the halacha, and that's why he's called our father Avram. That's a little bit strange. So I would rather take Rashi literally, when Rashi says in Parshas Lech Lecha, and again, I don't know who is going to reinterpret this Rashi for us, but Rashi says, Avram Megayer Es Hanosh. So again, you want to tell me, yeah, but, you know, give it a break. And I'm going to show you that the laws of our holy halacha reflect the fact that there was Geirus before Matan Torah. Okay? For example, if you take a look here in the next paragraph that starts with the word Vehine, you have that? He quotes the famous book called Parshas Drachim of the Mishnah Lamelech Rav Yaakov Roznas, who lived about 3.5-4 centuries ago, and he wants to know what status did the Avos have before Matan Torah. And he bases himself to a large extent on the Ramban. The Ramban claims that Avram Avinu underwent Milah, that we know in Parashas Lech Lecha, right? And that Milah, says the Ramban, was a Milas Gerus. In other words, when Avram entered into the Bris, keep in mind, there were two Brisos of Avram Avinu. The first Bris was the Bris Bein Abasarim, and the second one was the Bris of Milah at the end of the same Parsha, a few chapters later. And according to the Ramban, when Avram Avinu entered into the Bris Milah, he became a ger. He was actually undergoing gerus. Now you might ask me the following question. Gerus requires not just Milah, it also requires Tvila. Did Avram Avinu jump into the mikvah? I don't know. In the case of Bisya, she was a woman. A woman doesn't have the possibility of Mila. All she has is Tvila. So certainly in the case of Basparo, she had to undergo Gerus through Tvila, but I don't know if Avram Avinu had Tvila. The Ramban dodges this question. He only addresses the Mila concept. And I would submit to you the following conclusion, which again, I know Yechiel's going to fight me on this one, but that at the time that you have a possibility of tefillah, and tefillah is an integral part of Gerus, then without tefillah there's no Gerus. But at the time of Avram Avinu, Hashem said, you want to become a ger, you want to be the father of Klal Yisrael, then you need Milah and only Milah. And now Milah serves, just like tefillah for a woman, Milah for a man replaces tefillah. And by the way, there's a whole sugya in Yemavis about a ger shemol velo taval, machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Chacham, whether he's a ger or not. So there is a day in Tanon that even bizman hazeh, mila is enough to engender gerus. Now, let's go on, based on this Ramban, to the next paragraph. You remember, of course, just 1 minute, Dan. Just because otherwise I'm going to forget what I have to say, that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri. Now, why did he kill the Mitzri? The Mitzri hit a Jew. Right? Now, if you look at the Ran in Sanhedrin, which is the next to the last paragraph on the right side of your page, it says that a goy shehika es Yisrael chay of Misa. Shenemar vayifen ko v'cho vayakien ish vayaches ha-mitzri. Says the Ran, goy shehikas Yisrael chayev misa. And that's what it means when it says vayach es ha-mitzri. What about a Jew who hits another Jew? He's not chayav misa. Right? That ritzicha means you kill a person, not that you hit a person. So the question is, how can you derive that halacha from the parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu killing the Mitzri? This was before Matan Torah, before Har Sinai. And if this was before Matan Torah, then there's no difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. So when Moshe Rabbeinu kills him, and the Ran says he killed him because he was a Mitzri, had he been a Jew, he couldn't have killed him, even though he hit a Jew. Then the implication is that there were Jews at that time. Wait a minute, it's before Matan Torah, there's no Geirus. We derive all halachas of Geirus from Matan Torah. So how could you assume, and this is a major halachic breakthrough that's relevant even today in the poskim, namely, that if a Jew hits a Jew, he's not Chayav Misa. If a guy hits a Jew, he's Chayav Misa. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to kill a Jew who hurts another Jew. He's going to kill a Mitzri who hurts another Jew. Because there's a difference between a Jew and a Mitzri. How can you derive that conclusion when there's no Geirus? Yeah, Joe.
I mean, if you're going to say that the Mitzri was Chayav Misa, I would imagine that every Mitzri in Mitzrayim was Chayav Misa at the time. There was
absolutely. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu run around? So I would tell you this. Moshe Rabbeinu was picking him off one at a time. But the problem was that after he killed the first one, he had to run for his life. Had he stuck around, he would have killed a lot more Mitzrim. And you know what? Maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Well, why don't
I don't mean Mitzrim per se. Okay, today's Egypt is a little different, you know. But there are others who I think you understand. I mean, I don't know to what extent you feel what we feel here. You know, every day I pass that bus station, you know, that bus stop, which is right at the Knesala Ear, and, you know, there's a baby who's still fighting for its life. I mean, that's not the point. The point is that Moshe says that if a Jew is hurt by a guy who deliberately hurts him, then Guy Shehikas Yisrael is Chayav Misa. Okay, so again, let's just summarize what we have over here, Rabosai. We're in a very strange dilemma. There seem to be an entire myriad, a host of proofs that there was Geirus before Matan Torah, that a Jew was a Jew even before Har Sinai. And then the question is, well, what was the nature of that Geirus? We have a partial answer in the Ramban insofar as Avram Avinu, who undergoes Mila, and that may have been the method of Geirus at that time. But on the other hand, to say that Geirus means that you have Kabbalah's old mitzvahs when the mitzvahs haven't been given yet, that's a bit difficult.
But we say that Yosef and the brothers, Yosef also knew that he also had Mila. And still he didn't think that he was a Yid.
Well, when you say he didn't think he was a Yid, I'm not sure if I know what you're referring to.
No, because we have that, we tried to explain what the argument was between the Shvatim and Yosef. They consider themselves the place.
Right, that's all part of this Parsha's Drachim that we're studying now. Exactly what was the status of the Shvatim at that time, and the question
if
of...
If Mila were the only thing, then Yosef also had Mila, so...
Right, so, again, I'm not sure if we're going to get to that today, but let's start with Rebbe Elchanan and see where that leads us. This is on the left side of your page, and you know the Rebbe Elchanan wrote a book called Kovetz HaOros, but yet we always quote Rebbe Elchanan, I shouldn't say always, from another book called Kovetz Shiurim, which Rebbe Elchanan did not write. And this is one of those cases. So we're getting it like third hand. The Talmidim tried to put together Rebbe Elchanan's Torah, Mipi HaShmua, from what they heard. And that's what we have called Kovetz Shiurim. It's kind of frustrating to read Kovachim because you sense you're reading a mine. You know, there's like just gold. It's a gold mine. You know, it's a gold mine of chidushim, but it's not written well. It's not fleshed out. You know, you read Kovetz and you see a paragraph from Rabbi Chanan's pen, and you read it 50 times until you finally figure out that you're intelligent enough to understand what the man says. You don't necessarily want to do that in Kovetz Shiurim, because. So what is Geirus before Matan Torah? He says the following. Again, this is not Rabbi Chanan verbatim, but Kishem Sha'anu Nasenu Yisrael B'Kabbalas Tarig Mitzvahs B'Matan Torah Kach Avram Avinu B'Bo B'Bris V'Nitztabal Amila Nasek Ki Yisrael. Rabbi Chanan wants to say the following. That Geirus has to be redefined. Geirus doesn't mean to accept 613 mitzvahs. Geirus means to accept your mitzvahs, whatever your mitzvahs are. If your mitzvahs are taryag, then you have to accept taryag and nothing less will do. But if you were given the mitzvah, for example, of milah, then when you accept the mitzvah of milah, that for you is geirus. For a non-Jew, if he accepts the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, he also becomes a ger. That's called a ger toshav. But we jack it up from the level of Ger Toshav to a complete, because Ger Toshav is only a partial Ger, with Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Now, what are Kabbalah's mitzvahs? Kabbalah's mitzvahs depend upon who you are and where you live and when you live. In the case of Avram, he had one unique mitzvah which is given to him and not to any of the B'nai Noach before him, and that is the mitzvah of Milah. Once he accepts the mitzvah of Milah, that itself, together with the Maisa Mila, of course, is Geirus. But that's not going to help us, says Rabbi Chanan, to understand Rashi in Lech Lecha that we began with, HaNefesh Asher Osu B'Charan, the disciples of Avram, they didn't get any mitzvahs. So what was the nature of their Geirus? And he wants to suggest that maybe when the disciples of Avram accepted Derech Hashem of Avram Avinu, maybe they too become obligated in the midst of Mila. Because if you take a look at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, you'll see that Avram Avinu is Megayer, his entire household. Now, by the way, who comes from Avram Avinu? Yishmael. But who comes from Yitzchak? Esav. Now, Esav was Gemalt. Does that mean that he was a Jew? And the answer is yes. We don't realize this. Esav was a Jew. And Chazal call Esav a Yisrael Mumar. A Mumar is a Jew that goes off the derech. Esav really was Jewish, and he had Milah. Oh. Now, we want to leave Rabbi Chanan before we go on to page 2, which is going to be the Ritva's approach, with a question. Here's the question we want to raise on Rabbi Chanan. The Gemara tells us in two places that Geirus requires Milah, Tvila, and Karman. According to Rabbi Chanan, that's not really so. There was Geirus before Matan Torah without Milah, Tefillah, and Karman. Well, maybe there was Milah, but there certainly wasn't Tefillah and Karman. So that's going to remain an unanswered question. Right now we want to try a different approach. And this you'll see on the next page. And that is the Ritva. Do you see a paragraph that starts with the Ritva? The Ritva asks the following question. The Gemara in Masechet Ksubos establishes Ger Katan Matbilinos Al Das Bezdin. You can take a katan and you can be Megayer the katan. And the Gemara says that this is based on a halacha called Zachin Li Adam Shelo B'Fanav. Yechiel, you studied law, am I correct?
I'm a lawyer.
Is there anything, lahavdil, in secular law that I mean, I'm asking this just purely for my own curiosity, because here in the Amic Learning Center, I don't meet any lawyers. So I wanted to ask you, is there anything in secular law that reflects Zachin Liodim Shalom B'Fadav? Meaning, can I become your agent and operate on your behalf in a legal transaction without your knowledge? You didn't appoint me as your agent. I don't have,
Power of attorney.
Well, what's it called? Power of attorney. But I don't have power of attorney. But I'm doing it for your benefit. And it's clearly beneficial for you. Is there anything I'm curious to know.
The essence of agency is it's got to be appointed.
Right. Agency requires an appointment. All right. So in halacha, Havdil, there's a new concept here. When I say new, I mean it's in contrast to secular law. There's such a thing as agency for someone's benefit without their knowledge. So the Mishalech here is Zoche, he gained something. Like, for example, I can pick up an object of Hefker on your behalf. At the end of this, again, it's complicated because what I just told you is really not true according to the Maskonis HaSugi, but just in theory, it should be true. Alright? So I can... And the classical case of Zochin Liodim Shalom B'Fadav now becomes the case of Ger Katan. And the Gemara goes through a whole thing. Well, is it beneficial for him to become a Ger? Is it not? If his parents became Gerim, maybe it is. A whole to-do about it. In fact, the Ritva, I don't understand. If the Gemara is looking for a basis, a source for Ger Katan, why don't we derive it from Maimed Har Sinai? At Har Sinai, the Jewish people underwent Gerus. And amongst the community of Israel, there were Katanin, there were children. They too became Gerim. Obviously, there must be a din of Ger Katan Matbilin Asol Das Bezdin. If there's no din of Zochin Liodim Shalom B'Fadav to create Gerus in a child because it's beneficial for him, how did that Gerus at Maimed Har Sinai work? How was it effectual for the children? And yet the Gemara in Ksuvis, looking for a source or a basis for Ger Katan Matbilin Asol Das Bezdin, fails to mention the most obvious source and the proof text from Maimed Har Sinai. So in order to answer this question, the Ritva says something amazing. He says, Ein lahavi raya mimaimed Har Sinai, there's no proof, Sheikvar mizera Avram, these children were already descendants of Avram, Shehu nitztave al hamila, Ulihi kanes bibriso shel Avram Avinu, all the children since Avram Avinu in that lineage were already obligated to enter into the bris of Avram Avinu. The Avol Pisha Ein Ze Gmar Gerus, he admits, the Ritva, that the Gerus is not complete, but nevertheless it doesn't go from 0 to 100, but it goes from 50 to 100. Again, I'm just giving the numbers. And then he asks, Mehi de Gmar Gerusi, even if it's true that the Zera Shel Avram Avinu only needed Gmar Gerus, Sof, Halo Gerus Tzricha Liosos Midas Adam. Even that Gmar Gerus needs to be done with the will of a person. He has to agree to become a Ger. V'keitzad Girak Tanin in Lo Mishum Zchiyah. In other words, if the Gemara wants to prove Zochin Liodim Shalom B'Fadav, once again we could go back to the Ketanim, the Ketanim at Har Sinai, because at that point they were undergoing Gerus. And as such, they needed Gerus Al Das Bezdin, and that should be the source for Ger Katan Matbilinos Al Das Bezdin. Either he already had Gerus before through Avram, that's only a partial Gerus. That's not a complete Gerus. They needed to clinch their Gerus now, and they could only do so through the Halach of Zoch and the Olam Shalom B'Fadav. So once again, we're back to a question on the Ritva. Okay, the Ritva is great. There's some sort of process of Gerus that proceeds or is prior to Maimed Har Sinai. It's not a complete Gerus. But nevertheless, if that Gerus is a Maisa Gerus, then it requires Das. And if there's no Das, you have to introduce the halacha of Zach in the Adam, Shalo Befun. So we're left with the following, just to make a quick sikum beinayim, as we call it, you know, a pause and a summary. We're left with two approaches, none of which really satisfy the rational mind. The first approach is that of Rabbi Elchanan, in which he assumes that if you accept whatever mitzvah you have to accept, because that's the only mitzvah you have, that is gerus. And we left that with a question, because let's just review the question one more time. Just let me read it inside. He says, "Lefi Rabbi Elchanan, kfar nisgai v'nasu Yisrael v'kabolas mitzvos hamasiyom sheheim oylem and kodem, isman mokum yesh legeris no sefes b'matan Torah." All right, so we're left with that question, why there was Geirus and Matan Torah. And finally, we have the second approach, and that of the Ritva, that although there was Geirus before Matan Torah, it was only an incomplete Geirus, and the completion of the Geirus took place at Maimed Har Sinai. That answers the question that we had on Rabbi Elchanan, how we could derive all the halachas of Geirus from Maimed Har Sinai, but we're still left with another question, and that is, why didn't the Gemara in Ksuvus derive Geir Kadmat Bilnos Al Das Bezdin from the Ketanim who have been Geir at Har Sinai through the halacha of Zoch in the Odom Shalom Befanav? Now here, at this point, I want to share with you a very interesting kasha, a question that derives from two sugyas, from Yevamos and Bechoros. And the issue in the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis is whether the sequence in Geirus is critical. Does it have to be Mila first and then Tefila? What happens if the Tefila took place before the Mila? So the Gemara establishes that the sequence is not Likuva, and if the Tefillah took place before the Mila, that's fine. How do we know this? From whence do we arrive at the conclusion that you could switch around the order? And we derive it from the case of a non-Jewish woman who's pregnant and undergoes Geirus. Her Geirus is that of Tefillah. And the Gemara establishes that when her child is born, if it's a male child, the male does not need tefillah, because the tefillah of the mother when she went to mikvah is meaningful for the child. The child will have milah and complete his gerus 8 days down the line. And the Gemara proves from this that tefillah can take place before milah. Now, hine, mevur bidvarav, Sheben Hamuberesh and his Gaira Eno Yisrael Bishas Leidat Shiimol. It's clear here from the Ramban in Yevamos that even though this male child was born to a Jewish mother, meaning a Gioress, because her Gairus took place before the child was born, nevertheless, the Gair, this child, needs Mila, not just because of the mitzvah Mila, but it also to clinch his gerus. Correct? And that's how we prove that even though the tefillah came before the meal, it's still valid. So now the question is, what do we do with the Mishnah in Bechoros? The Mishnah in Bechoros says that Amu Beres Shin is Gaira Violda, Haben Bechar Lekoen. Why? He's considered Peter Rechem Be Yisrael. At the time of his birth, his mother was Jewish, right? Because she underwent gerus during his pregnancy when he was an embryo. So you see clearly that he has a din of Yisrael at the moment of his leida, and he doesn't need any gerus. Again, if he needs gerus, which is completed 8 days later when he does the mila, so how could the Gemara say that he is a bechar lekohen? Bechar lekohen means a firstborn to his mother. How could he be a firstborn when he's not Jewish? He's not Jewish until after his gerus. Another question. The Gemara says in Yevamos that let's say a non-Jewish woman has relations, and before she gives birth, to twin boys, she undergoes gerus. That's called horasam shelo b'kedusha v'leidasam b'kedusha. So at the time of conception, they were not Jewish. They came from a non-Jewish source, and their mothers were not Jewish. Their mother was not Jewish. But at the time of their birth, the mother had already previously undergone gerus, and therefore they're considered achim. They're considered brothers. And the mitzvah of yibah will apply. Or, for example, the erva, that you're not allowed to marry your brother's sister, your brother's wife, even after your brother dies. All this applies. But they're not achim. Because if at the time of their birth, it was, well, even though it was like dasa b'kedusha, but nevertheless, since it was horas and shalom b'kedusha, they need gerus. The Ramban says they need the mila to clinch their gerus, then ger kikot and shenola adami, they're not brothers, they're not related. And all this is meant to lead us to a chiddush of the Nesivos. And I'm looking for it now. Let me just see. Do you see the paragraph that says umatzinu? On the left side of your page. He starts with the Nesivos. He says, "Beleidaso hu adayin nochri." The Ramban is accurate. This child, who is born to a giores, whose geirus took place while he was an embryo, is a nochri. He needs mila for geirus, but says the Nesivos that mila works lemafreya. Fascinating, lemafreya. In other words, really, the Leda itself engenders the Shem Yisrael. He's a full-fledged Jew. But the Mila itself as Gerus is only a Tanai. You know, you've heard of a Tanai of Almanas, which is Lamafreya. You're familiar with that? If I sell you a piece of real estate on a condition, and the condition is fulfilled a year later, then it becomes yours lemafreya from the time of the kinyan. That's called the tanai of almanas. I mean, there's another kind of tanai, but right. So here too, the tanai of gerus of mila in a case of this child who was born to a Jewish mother is only a tanai. He only needs gerus as a tanai. Aval kishenimol nasa yisrael lemafreya. That's pretty fascinating. And if it's Lamafreya, then he was a full-fledged Jew at the time of his birth, and therefore he's Peter Rechem, he's a Bechar Le'imo, and he needs a Pidgin Aben. And if that be the case, then this child, if his Gerus is Lamafreya...
Wait, Pidgin Aben, yeah. By Pidgin Aben prior to Matan Torah?
No, we're not talking about prior to Matan Torah. We're talking about Halacha Lamaisa today, a non-Jewish woman who's pregnant for the first time in her life, and she undergoes gerus while she's pregnant. Then she gives birth to a baby boy. That's called peterechem. That boy needs a pidgin aben. And the kasha was, wait a minute, according to the Ramban, the gerus of this child is only complete with his mila 8 days later. And if that be the case, how could he have been classified as a pidgin, as a bechar le'imo? He wasn't Jewish. And the answer is, says the Nesivos, that with the gerus of mila on his eighth day, he becomes a ger lemafreya retroactively from the moment of his birth, and therefore he was a peter rechem. Now, if that be the case, if his gerus is lemafreya, then basically he is a Jew with the same status as his mother. Now, his mother was a Jew because she undergave gerus, and now he is the relative, the son of his mother. But the problem is that his father is not Jewish. And as a result of the fact that his father is not Jewish, he needs gerus, but that gerus is chalam afreya to link him up with his mother, who's the Israelis. And he writes here something that's very hard to understand. He writes, in kei yichus ha'av ma'akev umafkia es hisyach suso li'em, because as a non-Jew, he somehow is related to his father, because again, in amongst Bnei Noach, the Yichus goes by the father. That Yichus to his father forms a kind of conflict, a tension with his Yichus to his Jewish mother. Because he has on the one hand a Yichus to his father, who's not Jewish, he has a Yichus to his mother who is Jewish. And as a result of all that, he needs Mila. And once he does Mila, L'shem Yadus, and he undergoes Gerus, we don't consider him Kikatan Shinola Dami, as if he's a brand new being, you know, without any relatives whatsoever. And why is that, says the Nesivus? Because his Gerus is Chal Limafreya. U'miata, Enim Yuchas Achar Oviv HaGoy. Now what we do through this Gerus is we completely cut off the father. He, the child, has no relation to his father. V'shuv chozer dino lielski Yisrael misha rishona sharei nolad le'em Yisraelis. It's unbelievable. The Nesivus wants to suggest, let me, David, just rehash it and then the floor is yours, that fundamentally, since this child was born to a Jewish mother, he's Jewish, and all his Yichus goes, connects him back to his mother. However, there's a problem. Put up your dukes. There's a conflict here, a collision between the father and the mother, because the, you know, insofar as the father's not Jewish, he determines the yuchsin of the child. But the mother is Jewish, and as a Jewish mother, she determines the yuchsin of the child. So how do you reconcile this tug of war? Says the Nesivus, Enochinam. The Yichus to his non-Jewish father engenders a requirement of Gerus, which is fulfilled on the eighth day with his Mila. The Tvila he got already through his mother. Now, what's the status of this child? You might say, well, Kikot and Shinola Domi. Every Ger is Kikot and Shinola. And therefore he should have no relationship to his biological brother, even his twin brother. But the answer is no. We just have to knock off the father from the picture. I don't mean literally, but we have to get him out of the picture. How do we get him out of the picture? By completing the Gerus. The clinching of the Gerus through Mila on the eighth day will completely alienate, you know, the son from his relationship to his father. Then may we go back to square one, and since he was born to a Jewish mother, he's Jewish. David?
So, according to the Seals, you're saying that the mother's conversion, even though she's pregnant already, right? So the two brothers are biologically brothers, even though she became pregnant while she was still not Jewish.
Not only biological brothers, nobody argues about that, but they're even halachic brothers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But during conception, though, she wasn't Jewish yet.
Correct. So since the Hora'asa was Shalobik Dusha,
right.
Therefore, we have a relationship to the Zera Ha'av, which is always true in Horah Shalom B'Kedusha. Let's say John Paul Jones gives birth to Stephen, right? And they're all non-Jews. So Stephen is related to his father through the halacha that Yichus in Bnei Noach goes after the father. So the father's Zera, which is called Horah Shalom B'Kedusha, makes the father into the father of this child as far as Dina Yuchsin. But then there's another halacha that Yuchsin is also engendered by Leda. Now the Leda of these children, of these two brothers, these twins, insofar as the mother was already a Gioris, that's called Leidasim B'Kedusha. So we now have a battle. There's Hora'asim Shalom B'Kedusha, which means that the father drags the child, and that's where the Yichus lies. There's Leidasim B'Kedusha, and the mother grabs, you know, she pulls the child towards her. And how do we reconcile this whole balagan, as we say? The answer is, we wait till the eighth day of this child's birth. He undergoes Mila, which is now the clincher of Gerus. Tvila he doesn't need, because that he got through his mother. Says the Nesivus, now what becomes absolutely clear is that this child is no longer related to his father. We've knocked off the father. But you and I would have said we've knocked off the father from the eighth day and on, from the Mila and on. Comes along the Nesivus and says, no, fundamentally this child is a Jew. This child was born to a Jewish mother, he's Jewish. And a Yichus that determines his status as a Jew is Leidasa B'Kedusha, his mother's Gerus. Ella what? We got to somehow knock out the father. We're going to knock out the father with this Maisa Giur, with this Milo, which is only meaningful in order to push the father over the ledge so that there's no longer a Yichus to the father, and now automatically the Yichus is totally to the mother. And these two boys, insofar as both of them undergo Milo on the eighth day, and their Geirus is Lamafreya, and they really are related to their mother, that's called Achim, and they have the status halakhically of two brothers. That's the Nesivos. You know what, David, can you hang in there for, because I'm looking at the clock. I just want to see if I can chop around before the Olam has to go. And then we'll come back and discuss this, Bli Neder. The Zecher Yitzchak, in the next paragraph called Ofen Sheni, says, Li'olam Ishas Le'idoso Yisrael Gomer, who even the Ramban agrees that this child who's born to a Jewish mother, one to one Geirus, is a full-fledged Yisrael. Why? Because he was born to a Jewish mother. Ella, but there's another halacha, and that is that even though he's a Jewish child, sometimes a Jewish child is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Or a Jewish woman is not allowed to marry a Jewish man. That's called psulei kohol. I mean, just an example to throw it out is a mamzer, right? A mamzer is a full-fledged Jew, but he can't marry a bas Yisrael. Here, there's a new psul. Not a psul of mamzerus, he's not a mamzer, but there's a psul of aviv goy. The fact that his father is a goy, that engenders a new status of a psul, which enjoins him from marrying a Jewish girl. Klomar, Yisrael hu im psul girus, very sensitive kind of integration of two mutually exclusive concepts that are chal simultaneously in one person. On the one hand, he's a Yisrael Gomor. On the other hand, he has a Psul Gius. And that Psul Gius, insofar as he came from a non-Jewish father, will prevent him from marrying a Jewish girl in a similar way that we have Psul Ekol. And what we need in order to remove this Psul Gius is, as the Gemara says in Krisus, Zavos Karban Ager, just like in Krisus we find, again, he's going according to the Shita Mekubetzes in Krisus Dav Ches on the Beis, that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if a Ger underwent Mila and Tefillah, but he hasn't brought his Karban, he's not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. You see that there's something within the process of Gerus that not only engenders Gerus and gives you the status of Ben Yisrael, but also allows you to enter into Kal Yisrael. Like a Ger, before he marries a Jewish girl, has to pass a certain test, so to speak. There's a process by which we can be mater him to marry into the Kal. And what is that process? So back in the day, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, the process was not just Mila and Tefillah, but it was clinched by Havas Karban. Today we don't have Havas Karban, and therefore the Geirus is complete. The Gemara derives this on Daf Tes increases from Ludor Seichem with Mila and Tefillah. In a similar way, says the Zecher Yitzchak, we have a Psul Chitun because of the Tzadgius of a man who is the product of a mixed marriage, so to speak. In other words, his biological father is not Jewish. His mother underwent Gerus. He is a Ben Yisrael L'chol Davar, but he needs Gerus, so to speak, to allow him to marry into Kal Yisrael. And what is that Gerus? That would be the Mila that clinches his Gerus. There's a third approach, which I'll discuss on a different occasion, of Rav Naftali Trupp, the Granat, who is the Rosh Yeshiva in Rad. Okay, David, the floor is yours.
So why can't you say, according to the Silas, that the retroactive for that fast of the child being Jewish is only by the Leda, not before? In other words, he comes out as a Jewish mother, so he's Jewish, but you don't have to go back all the way to the conception and say he was Jewish that too, because it's just, you might say it's before the Geirus anyway. In other words, so Legabe Bechor is Petarecha, because the lady's Jewish, and he's Jewish, and he's a Bechor, but to say his biological brother is his brother in Halacha before the Geirus is a bit of a stretch.
Right, but that's what the Nesiv is trying to explain, because the Gemara says in Yevamos that Achim shal ra'asam shal lo b'kedusha v'leidosam b'kedusha is chayovim mishum eishes ach. which means that the Gemara assumes that even though these twins had a non-Jewish father, since their mother underwent Geirus, therefore they are full-fledged brothers halakhically for all the dinim. And how does that work? If the Ramban insists, as we saw in the Sugi Yevamos Mem Zayin, that a Ger, in a case of a pregnant woman who gave birth, who underwent Geirus and then gave birth, that child is a Ger, says the Ramban, just that his Mila came, his Milas Geirus comes after his Tefillah, and from here we can derive the conclusion that you can switch around the order, and Tefillah could come first and Mila second. If he's a Ger, how could he be a brother to his biological brother? And that's what the Nesivis is trying to answer. All right, Rabosai, so again, as far as Asar Batavis is concerned,
I'd say this is part one. I think we have to continue this.
I will see. I mean,
close.
All right, I just, at least I wanted to give you, you know, I always try to use this occasion to give you a little bit of a flavor, at least, you know.
We're going to continue this next week, I imagine?
I don't know. Next week is Asar Batavis, so I'm tempted, again, with your bracha, to speak about something related to the fast, because, you know.
So is the Rav going to continue this maybe online or something?
Okay, maybe we'll do it online then. Okay, I'll try to do it.
Okay, send it to us?
Just if you can send me a one-liner just to remind me, you know. But just wait a day or two, you know.
Am I right? Am I correct? The Rav's not, hasn't scratched the surface here.
Yeah, well, I wanted to do Rav Naftali Trump with you, and that's a sheer unto itself, Rav Naftali, you know.
By the way, well, a bunch of Shabbos, Rabbi Rosen discussed also the lot of Shlomo Chano. He told us all the famous Ksois. Ksois is just too easy to understand it.
Yeah, I remember the Ksois. I mean, you'll have to just jolt my memory a little bit, but.
He says, he argues against the Russian Tosis, who says Mitam Shlichus. He says Mitam Yad is different.
Oh, I see. Whether he is Mitam Shlichus or Mitam Yad.
Yeah,
Rav Soloveitchik has a lot of Torah on that. Yeah,
that's surprising.
Exactly how the chiyu works. Okay, Rav Osai, thank you so much, and I'm going to give. So, if you have any opportunity to, you know, send me some questions, I mean, Yechiel, I'm expecting who knows what—a poison pen letter from you. Just kidding. All right. If I got a little bit emotional, I mean, this is, it bothers me a lot when people disregard Chazal. You know, it's a problem in our society because there are all sorts of movements, you know, and I'm very suspect of them, you know.